Just a little seed makes a big tree, standing on its own, thriving all alone. Just a little seed makes a big tree, grow so high, gonna touch the sky.
Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation.
Spreads roots deep.
Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a world of freedom and health for all. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, nor its management.
Global orders, riding over borders, get behind your doors for the new world order.
In this episode, I'm going to be talking a bit about deep veganism, which is the boomerang effect philosophy, that which humanity does to our non-human brothers and sisters, especially over the last 10,000 years, eventually, as we see in 2021, boomerangs back to humanity. The exploitation, the deceit, the manipulation.
Dr. Evil and his needle. Dr. Evil with a master plan.
And the harm and the oppression and slavery. The disease.
A plant of microchip, every woman, child, and man. The plant to chip us all, to have complete control, the land, the sky, your soul.
We'll start out with a short clip by Serena Farb of Born Vegan, a content creator and speaker at Born Vegan. And yes, Serena was born vegan.
Last week, Bill Gates went on record stating that 100% of rich nations should switch to synthetic beef. This led to outcry by some folks on the right who despise anything vegan related.
He wants to take away your beef.
And celebration by vegans and vegan media who held up Bill Gates as some sort of hero that is going to do absolutely amazing things for the vegan movement and the animals. This is deeply problematic, though, and I'm going to tell you today exactly why Bill Gates is not an ally for the animals, for the planet, or for veganism, or really anyone that we should be celebrating and elevating in any way. Now, before you get all, ooh, conspiracy theory against Bill Gates, no, this isn't going to be anything like that. This is simply going to be the facts about what Bill Gates actually stands for and invests in when it comes to food, agriculture, and how he is actually actively undermining veganism with much of his philanthropy. First of all, Bill Gates himself is not vegan. If you've watched some of my previous videos on this topic, you'll know that I am no fan of hero worship or excessively putting celebrities, plant-based or vegan influencers on pedestals. However, to put someone on a pedestal who has every privilege and ability in the world to go vegan and speaks about and knows about the science and impact that raising animals has on the environment and climate change, yet still openly eats meat, just seems like we're taking this hero worship thing to a whole new level. Now, I get that it's exciting when someone with Bill Gates's platform and level of influence speaks out about the need to shift away from animal products to plant-based alternatives. But doesn't it kind of undermine the message when he himself is still eating animal products and also blogs and speaks about how he would bet on and raise chickens and thinks that meat and dairy are necessary to feed people and we can't expect the whole world to go vegan?
Our goal here is to take him to Africa, where right now only 5% of the households have chickens, and get that up country by country up to about 30%.
Bill Gates also isn't the great philanthropist that you probably think he is. Even while he's given away over $50 billion to charity, his wealth has actually grown significantly over that same time period, including by $20 billion just during the pandemic alone. And some of the philanthropy that Gates and the Gates Foundation does are really just giving to multinational private for-profit corporations that the Gates Foundation also has investments in. An investigative report in The Nation found that the Gates Foundation has given over $2 billion in tax-deductible donations to for-profit corporations that the Gates Foundation held investments in. So he's kind of giving to himself and other wealthy people and getting tax deductions for doing so. The truth is, Bill Gates is really just brilliant at PR and greenwashing everything that he does. Have you ever noticed how there's an incredible, endless amount of positive news coverage of his work? and that there are hardly ever, if any, pieces in mainstream media that are critical of him or his foundation's approach to solving problems. Well, it just so happens that he is also giving millions of dollars every year to journalistic and media entities such as NPR, The New York Times, and The Guardian, often to report on programs and efforts in agriculture and poverty that his foundation is directly working in, which results in a very interesting conflict of interest. The Columbia Journalism Review summed it up in their brilliant, extensive investigative piece. In the same way that the news media has given Gates an outsized voice in the pandemic, the foundation has long used its charitable giving to shape public discourse on everything from global health to education to agriculture. Bill Gates also uses his philanthropy to zealously promote an agenda of deregulation and free market capitalism and technological solutions. This includes things such as genetically engineering cows that will produce fewer methane emissions and more meat and dairy per single cow, or shooting particles into the sky to block or dim the sun to prevent climate change. And he does all of this rather than focusing on literally any of the root problems of climate change, of income inequality, of poverty, of animal agriculture, which should come as no surprise, since tackling these root issues would mean tackling the very systems that benefits Gates and that he continues and has gained his wealth and power through. An article in The Nation laid out this type of conflict so clearly in their reporting, where they show just how much Gates personally emits when it comes to greenhouse gas emissions from his private jet, his 23-car private garage, and his several multi-million dollar mansions, as well as the fact that he and his foundation are still invested in and continuing to make profits off of fossil fuel companies, all while he goes around claiming to be a huge champion for the climate and taking action on climate change. And sadly, when it comes to veganism, the story is no different. Bill Gates is going around telling everyone that we need to switch to eating synthetic meat and speaking about how damaging beef in particular can be for climate change. But at the same time that he's saying and doing all of this over here, on the other hand, he is actively funding, investing in, and supporting animal agriculture. So I did just a quick search, really, like a very quick search, of the Gates Foundation public grants on the foundation's website. And just in the past 2 years that I was quickly able to pull up, from 2018 through 2020, the Gates Foundation has given over $100 million directly to livestock and animal agriculture industry groups. This includes things like $1.3 million to Heifer International. Check out my video on why I don't support Heifer International here. $17 million to the International Livestock Research Institute to support investment and development of livestock globally. $8.9 million to Hendrix Genetics to promote the development and genomic breeding of superior breeds of chickens to increase poultry production. $1.5 million to the EcoHealth Alliance, specifically to support the Indian Ministry of Animal Husbandry and Dairying. And $12.5 million to the International Center for Living Aquatic Resource Management to increase productivity and development of aquaculture systems, which, for those of you who don't know, that means AKA toxic, harmful fish farms. And honestly, this list just goes on and on and on. This is just a fraction of the grants that I was quickly able to find. Not to mention that the Gates Foundation has regularly partnered with some of the worst food companies and most environmentally destructive corporations on the planet to promote things like industrial agriculture, monocrops of GMOs, and toxic pesticides. In January of 2020, the Gates Foundation launched a new initiative called Gates Ag One that is a subsidiary of the Gates Foundation, and Gates Ag One has a stated mission to empower smallholder farmers with affordable, high-quality tools, technologies, and resources they need to lift themselves out of poverty. However, as good as that may sound, the problem is the president of Gates Ag One is Joe Cornelius. And Joe Cornelius was previously the director of food, agriculture, and nutrition at Bayer Crop Science for 13 years, and before that, he also worked a stint at Monsanto as well as Pfizer. So I don't really care how you spin this or what words you put on empowering small farmholders. The person in charge of this has worked with and probably supports the agenda of some of the largest food and chemical companies on the planet who are industrial agriculture. So how likely do you think it is that someone like Joe Cornelius, being the president of Gates Ag One, is going to do anything to actually promote veganic, vegan, organic, and regenerative and sustainable farming practices with this new initiative? So sure, we can celebrate the fact that Bill Gates publicly stated that rich nations should switch to eating 100% synthetic beef. But you know what would do a hell of a lot more good for the people, for the animals, for the planet, and for spreading veganism? If Bill Gates actually stopped actively investing in and spending hundreds of millions of dollars to prop up and grow the animal agriculture industry and further consolidate power and wealth with some of the worst food and agriculture corporations on the planet.
Much thanks to Born Vegan, Serena Farb, for sharing her recent video. It's titled, Dear Vegans, Bill Gates is not a hero for our movement.
Free to do exactly as you're told. Obey, consume, and die. An obsession for your pie up in the sky.
Before we move on to the next segment, here's a little bit more of Little Seed, Big Tree by Ian Brown.
Geoengineering, making more than passes in the sky.
Here's a fun fact. 1 million seconds is 11 and a half days. 1 billion seconds is 31 and a half years. Here's a short clip of Priya Sani from DXE Direct Action Everywhere at a disruption in Nevada, where she asked Jeff Bezos to care about animals.
Amazon is a large enough company now that we need to be doing things that, if they work, can actually move the needle.
My name is Priya Sani. I have been inside Amazon's chicken farms where animals are criminally abused and absolutely.
Next, Priya is saying, Jeff, please, you're the richest man on the planet. You can help the animals.
Jeff, please, you're the richest man on the planet. You can help the animals.
Do you have a response to that?
I wasn't quite prepped for that.
5G radiation, beamed to it from space by satellites. The scientists.
Soon we'll be hearing from Joanne Farb at her recent testimony in front of the Kansas State Legislature, where Joanne Farb advocates for medical freedom.
Psychological operation, the general population hypnotized, right in front of your eyes, drama and lies, look into my
You'd be alarmed that there is no data suggesting this vaccine won't cause an epidemic of death and disability in a year or two due to known biological mechanisms that are currently documented in the scientific literature, such as disease enhancement upon exposure to the wild virus, autoimmunity, and possibly prion diseases. While working on the scientific side, I was in meetings that discussed giving grants to cash-strapped universities so that they would publish reductionist science to support my company's profits. You need only look at what is happening around the world right now to see how incredibly powerful and successful industry has been in the using from the synergy of funding biased science and having an army of sales reps and lobbyists to assure that the biased science was read and broadcast more than any that contradicts it. This is why we need the right to reject any medical intervention, which the Nuremberg Code supports. Many of us would sooner be unemployed than face risks from an experimental vaccine for a disease unlikely to be life-threatening. You know, we all think we'd like to think of ourselves as somebody who would not have gone along with Tuskegee, internment of Japanese Americans, and other injustices so obvious in hindsight. This is your opportunity to be on the right side of history. Please, don't make people choose between holding on to their job and being coerced into injecting something that may cause catastrophic injuries down the road. Thank you.
We just heard from Joanne Farb, a vegan in Kansas, and that was her testimony on February 25th, 2021, at the Capitol in Kansas. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll hear a little bit more of Little Seed, Big Tree.
Just a little seed makes a big tree, standing on its own.
And we'll take a short break, and then we'll hear more from Joanne Farb.
Makes a big tree, grows so high, gonna touch the sky. Just a little seed makes a big tree, spreads roots deep.
I'd like to thank all the listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation.
It's mango time.
Hi, folks, this is Chuck Demers. Please tune us in on Tuesday mornings on the Jukebox, time from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. I, along with Rose, will play the best songs we know. We call the show Mango Time, something sweet, juicy, and good for you. Okay, we're at WCUW Worcester 91.3 FM and WCUW.org.
This is your very own Dr. G behind the microphone here at WCUW.org, streaming out across those interwebs and live 91.3 FM. Community radio serving Worcester and beyond. I'll be bringing you yet another patent-pending sonic thrill ride designed to have you prancing around your yurt while consuming your finest non-GMO and heirloom granola every Thursday morning from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Much love, and I'll see you soon out there in the ethers.
Welcome back from the break. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. And we'll continue with the short clip of Joanne Farb, a vegan in Kansas, as she is giving testimony at the recent February 25th, 2021 meeting at the Kansas Capitol State Legislature.
So, Joanne Farb, my question's for her.
Go ahead.
I appreciate your testimony. I've been watching this, and we have different brands of vaccines, different strands. I've been told that some of the synthetic items that are being used are going to be used from here on out in vaccines. So that would make this bill even more important for all vaccines. Is that correct?
Well, I think this bill is important for, yes, it is important for all vaccines. I mean, the challenge is we live in a time when pharmaceutical companies and technology companies have amassed an ability to influence and control us that we have never previously imagined possible before. They shape the science. They determine which science even gets seen and read. They have, you know, pharmaceutical companies outspend oil and gas in their lobbying 2-to-1. It's no surprise that we have so many people thinking as they do. The pharmaceutical industry spends billions of dollars to try and have this be the framework. So this bill is one little step in the direction of protecting our fundamental rights to our own body. I mean, if I can't determine what gets injected into my body, what does any other right even matter?
People act like you have a choice.
Vaccines are not vegan. We're joined by Dr. Will Tuttle.
The animals die horrible, painful deaths. In any event, they're always killed. They call it sacrificed, as if they're high priests doing a sacrifice to the gods of science. There's literally hundreds and thousands and millions of animals who are killed or who die very painful deaths in order to bring these to market, into a guaranteed market that will bring hundreds of millions and billions of dollars into the pockets of these companies. And the whole idea is to understand that we can never be healthy by inflicting disease on other beings. If we inflict disease on other beings, we're going to get disease. The more we inflict disease on other beings, the more diseased we become, because as we sow, so shall we reap. Any animal product or animals themselves for food or for entertainment or for testing for pharmaceuticals or for other household products, you have to breed the female animals. You have to basically, you have workers that restrain these female animals, whatever they are, whether they're monkeys or dogs or rats or whatever, restrain them. Then they have other workers who have to masturbate the males and take their sperm. And then they put them on rape racks, basically restrain them and impregnate them against their will. And then when they give birth, they just immediately steal their babies. And they say, that's not your baby, that's my baby. I own you, I own your baby. I'll do to your baby whatever I want to do to your baby. And we're finding the same thing, ironically, beginning to happen in our society with the powers that be saying, you know, you don't own your baby, I own your baby. I'll do whatever I want. We'll vaccinate your baby. You don't have a choice. You know, that's what we do to animals. And we have to realize that this causes not only tremendous physical suffering, but tremendous emotional suffering, both to the mothers and to the babies who are born into a really hellish existence that's completely unnecessary and causes nothing but disease and misery for us as well. Branches far away, we're sounding locked down in your hometown. We're sounding locked down. Can you hear me now? From the top down.
We just heard a clip of my previous interview with Dr. Will Tuttle, and you can hear that full interview on the Vegan Nation Archives, October 1st, 2020. And we'll end today's program with another snippet of Joanne Farb, who is Serena Farb's mom, born vegan. Here's a snippet of the speech by Joanne Farb at the Conscious Eating Conference in Berkeley, California, sponsored by United Poultry Concerns. This is a shortened, edited version.
I am most happy and honored to introduce to you as our next speaker, Joanne Farb. She is a former microbiologist with a global pharmaceutical company. Can I say which one?
Go ahead.
Okay, Merck. Merck Pharmaceuticals. She is a nutrition educator. She is the mother of two lifelong vegan daughters and the author of a book which I highly recommend, which I've read, and a wonderful book called Compassionate Souls, Raising the Next Generation to Change the World.
When I was offered a position with the pharmaceutical company Merck, global pharmaceutical company, the job that I had with them was unique because it had me reporting to both the marketing side and the scientific side. And because of that, I was actually able to see a bigger picture of what was going on and connect some things that normally only people far more invested in the company's success would ever be able to connect. And as a result of what I saw there, I learned a lot of things that I would probably never have learned otherwise. And as part of that job, I actually toured hundreds of industrial operations that were using animals both to produce food and in research. But one of the things that was really interesting to me that I saw there was, and I was in lots and lots of different facilities doing lab animal research, one of the things I discovered was that very, very few of them, what they were doing, even had a pretense about saving human lives. And yet every single one of them had these big posters up on the wall that would say, lab animal research saves lives. And I realized why they were up there, because those posters were actually very important to the morale of the people who were working in these facilities. And I don't think any of them like ever really even thought about the fact that they could see that what we were doing didn't even have any relevance, but that was important to them. Because I came face to face with something, and that was that my personal food choices were a big driver of a lot of the research I was seeing and the animal food production, I realized that the only way I could go forward at that point in life was to become a vegan. Now, this was at a time when I had never met a vegan in real life. And I was in Kansas, too. Did I mention that? I was in Kansas. And so because everything pretty much I knew about the animal rights movement at that point, I had learned from within the animal-using community, and I knew the narrative was that anybody who supported animal rights was a terrorist. Now, of all the terrible places that I toured, there was one in particular that stood out in my mind and that lodged itself in my memory more deeply than anything else. And it was a commercial chicken hatchery. And for in case you're not aware, this is where almost every chicken in America comes from, including those that you may see people raising in their backyards for eggs. They almost all come from these commercial hatcheries as well. Now, my point in showing you all this is to make visible something that is often not considered and not looked at, that our instinctive desire to fit in by not rocking the boat has worked against social justice progress so many times. And I think Martin Luther King's writings actually exemplify this as well when he said, "I have been gravely disappointed with the white moderate who is more devoted to order than to justice. And I was rather disappointed that fellow clergymen would see my nonviolent efforts as those of an extremist." You know, vegans do not force their way of life on you. If you're not vegan, you are forcing your way of life, literally, on animals. So ask yourself, do you think it was or is wrong to push values about slavery and voting and marriage equality, drunk driving, protecting the environment? What would our world be like if those of us who can see the injustice of these things cared more about not offending anybody? What would our world be like? Can you think of a single example of social justice progress that was not the result of someone pushing their values? What would our world be like without people willing to speak unapologetically for justice? And so, if you remember only one thing from my whole talk, this is what I want you to remember. I'd like you to either write down this question or take a picture of it, because this afternoon, you are going to hear people up here discussing the subject of clean meat. And you're going to hear a variety of perspectives on this. And so what I want you to do is to just think about, as the different perspectives are being shared, which of those are most consistent with helping to keep us from reinforcing the perspective of the oppressors and the oppressive paradigm that we are all caught in. And so the question to remember is, how do we keep from reinforcing the perspective of the oppressors? And you know, when I worked in the corporate world, I was well schooled in how to use the art of reductionism to focus people's attention on one piece of something, one piece of an issue that was maybe easiest to quantify, easiest to sell an idea or get them to do something based on that, which may actually have been counter to a bigger picture if you looked more holistically at whatever it was. I will close with this quote from Donald Watson. And for those who may not know, Donald Watson and a small group of others in 1944, actually, are the ones who coined the word vegan and started the first vegan society with the intent of launching a peaceful revolution. And I love this quote by Donald Watson where he says, "We can see quite plainly that our present civilizations were built on the exploitation of slaves, and we believe that in time we will view with abhorrence the idea that humans once fed on the products of animals' bodies. A common criticism is that the time is not yet ripe for our reform. Can time ever be ripe for any reform unless it is ripened by human determination?" And I'll close with that. Thank you.
And thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. Please join us again next week at the same time. Hear this program again at vegansradio.wordpress.com. Much thanks to Serena Fab and much thanks to Joanne Fab. This is Marlene wishing you a good day. This song is by Will Tuttle. Liturgical song.